doesn't really work is the Bible says the lamb was silent. And that didn't work. Let's see, in the Old Testament, Samuel goes, "Yes, Lord, your servant's listening." All right. As adults, we're going to spend some time in God's Word. We're going to have a word of prayer. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to open to the chapter of book of Luke, chapter 24, 1125 is the page number. Father, we ask that as we look into your Word, as a message is brought forth, that it not be from some other book, that it not be from my mind or from my mouth, but that the message be from your heart to touch our hearts, that we would be moved to be different, that you would be the potter and we would be the clay, that you would shape us and mold us, that as a goldsmith, you would take off the garbage, the dross that's on top, and leave what you would intend behind, pure gold. Father, as we look into your Word, we ask that your Spirit be in this reading, in our hearts, and that we would be your people. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In your pew Bibles, page 1125, Luke chapter 24, starting at verse 1. If you've ever wondered, by the way, why Christians celebrate on Sunday and not Saturday, because the Sabbath day is the seventh day of the week. If you read the creation story, God rested on the last day of the week, Saturday. Why in the world do Christians then rest and celebrate on Sunday? To celebrate the resurrection. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" That'll be our main focus verse in a few moments. "He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and crucified, and on the third day rise." To the 11 and all. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloth by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. Before we go to our focus verse, this is going to be kind of a three-part sermon, but the end is where I really want us to focus on. First, the stone. The stone they found rolled away. 2 years ago at our sunrise service, that was the focus of our sunrise service. Why was the stone rolled away? Well, Jesus rose from the dead. He had to get out of the tomb. If you read the Gospel of John, you find out that the upper room where the disciples had gathered to kind of mourn Jesus' death after he had been crucified, the doors were shut, they were locked, and Jesus appeared to them. He did not go through the door in a normal way. Somehow, some way, that new and glorified, resurrected physical body has some very special features that someday you and I will understand a little more because we will have those bodies too. Spirit and physical body, no sin, the way God originally intended, something miraculous about it, but Jesus appeared to them and the doors were shut. The stone did not need to be rolled away for Jesus to get out of the tomb. The stone needed to be rolled away so that Mary and the disciples, that you and I, could look into the tomb and see that he was risen. You see, our God does what he needs to do to bring us to a place where we can believe in him. He loves you so much that he knocks. And if the door doesn't open, he knocks. And if the door doesn't open, he knocks. And he rolls the stone away to make a way. Now, I got to tell you, you got to step in. You got to open the door. But he knocks and knocks and calls and puts people in your lives and puts things on TV or on the radio that move your heart. And if you want to turn the volume down, that's up to you. If you want to turn the channel off, that's up to you. If you want to tell that person who's talking to you to just tune them out, I do that with my kids sometimes. You want to tune them out? That's up to you. But the stone was rolled away not to let Jesus out, but to let us in. The stone was rolled away that we could see that the grave is now empty because our Father in heaven loves us and because Jesus conquered death for you and I. So that's the first little sermonette in this passage. Now I'm going to jump to the end. Something about tuning the women out. The women come to the men and they hear the women tell the story, and it sounds like an idle tale. Jesus walked with them and talked with them for 3 years. Jesus healed the blind man, made the deaf man be able to hear, laid a lame person walk. He brought people back from the dead. He said that he would die and on the third day he would rise from the dead. They heard it. And now, the women come back and say, it happened. Oh, you're just a bunch of emotional women. These were disciples, the apostles. If they have hearts that are hard to move, Holy Spirit, you've got a lot of work to do because it's us. We better be praying. We better be praying that our hearts are soft. We better be praying that we are ready to hear. We better be praying that we can see all these little God winks. Why? Because we didn't have the privilege of walking with the Savior and seeing with our eyes the miracles, hearing with our ears the word of God from his very lips. We are so blessed, we have his word. We are so blessed that God gave us holy, written, inspired, inerrant word of God. But I kind of wish I was there. I kind of wish I could have seen those things and heard those things with my ears. And if they, the apostles themselves, struggled to believe, I am up a creek without a paddle. Unless there's grace from God through the Holy Spirit working in my life. I have no hope of belief unless God ignites that ember within my heart. I have no hope of being dark and he is light. The Holy Spirit works in me first because I am dark and he is light. If those very apostles heard the prophecy, who heard Jesus himself say this would happen, heard it from the women's lips. We just came from the tomb. We're witnesses. We are witnesses that the angels were there and said, why do you seek the living among the dead? Oh, bunch of emotional women. You're seeing things. If they struggled, I'm in big trouble unless God is leading my heart. And so, please, my friends, be a people of prayer. Invite God daily, moment by moment, hour by hour, minute by minute, to work in your hearts. Because otherwise they are hard. And when you hear a message on the radio or see something on the TV that should move your heart, it's a coincidence. It's an idle tale. When you see a God wink like the nail, it's nothing. No. God knocking. And knocking. And rolling the stone aside. But the door stays closed. When the prayers are not there. And the heart is not fertile. And the spirit is being quenched. Because I don't have time for that. And now to our main focus verse. The angels of God. The word angel, by the way, is a Hebrew word, and it means messenger. Now, there were times in the Old Testament that that word literally meant a human being. That was a messenger of God. But these are angelic beings. These are spirit beings that were taking on a physical, earthly form. And the way you would understand that, the way that you would glean that from Scripture to be sure, is pretty much every single time an angelic being showed up and talked to somebody, they were afraid. I mean, if you came to see me, I probably would not be too afraid. My wife was angry and she came to see me, I'd be afraid. But other than that, I'm pretty good with things. When God's presence, or when a spirit, every time they start off by saying, don't be afraid, fear not. The Christmas story, fear not, for I bring you good news of great tidings. Fear not, because it was obvious this was something special. This was a messenger from God, not a human being, but a spirit being that God sent, one of his army, one of his angels. And what do they have to say? Why do you seek the living among the dead? Even as Christians, we sometimes keep looking for peace beyond Christ. I got to read another self-help book. You go into the bookstores and you find that, well, the section of the Bibles is this big, but the section on the self-help books, well, I need another couple aisles. Now, don't get me wrong. We can find great truth and great encouragement from other human beings who could teach us many things. I am not saying that everything else outside of the Bible is garbage, but it pales in comparison. I mean, I'm going to step on some toes for a moment. This may bother some very exciting, evangelical, born-again, Bible-believing, bathed-in-the-blood-of-Jesus-Christ Christians, what I'm about to share. I can even find truth from a non-believer. Non-believers can certainly show me things. I can watch maybe a non-believer who is a fantastic parent and pick up some tips on how to talk to my children better. I could watch somebody who is a non-believer who has a fantastic relationship with their wife and learn, and wow, he brings flowers. I should do that once in a while. I could learn from other things and other people. But the bottom line is, where do I search for my peace? Where do I search for my wholeness? That word, shalom. You've heard that on the TV when you watch a Jewish individual or whatever, shalom, which means hello and goodbye, but it really means peace. But what does peace mean? Peace does not simply mean the lack of war. If you were going to a high school right now and ask one of the high school students what's the opposite of peace, they would say, well, war. Well, that's a wrong translation, quite honestly. Peace, the opposite of it, is emptiness or brokenness or non-wholeness. Peace means complete, whole, lacking nothing. I have found it. I have found all that I was looking for. I need nothing else. Wow. When I go back into the Old Testament and God introduces himself to Moses, what does God say his name is? I am. I need no other. I am complete. Isn't the Bible cool how things go together? I am is who God introduced himself to be. I need nothing else. And I will give you wholeness where you will need nothing else. I will give you completeness. In this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have come to overcome the world. That is the words of our Savior who died on that cross, who rose from the dead. God rolled the stone away so that we could find an empty tomb and find our peace. Why do we, even as Christians, seek the living among the dead? Why do we keep searching and searching for a wholeness and completeness beyond a relationship with God and beyond a relationship with Jesus Christ? Because if we are searching beyond that, we are saying, you're not enough. If we are searching beyond that, we're saying, you're good, but I need more. Forgive me, Lord. When someone comes into a relationship with God through the gift of Jesus Christ, and it is full and complete, and it's the right way, they need nothing more. The others are icing on the cake. The others are blessings beyond. I'll give an example. Some individuals have great marriages and some don't. Some individuals are not married at all. Some individuals are blessed with a child or two or many children. And some individuals are blessed with no children. They are still blessed when they are in the hands of their sovereign God, being cradled and loved because of what Jesus did. Some individuals are the spitting image of health. And some individuals are blessed with sickness and infirmity. Those things do not distract from the true peace that comes from Jesus Christ, and it passes the understanding of the world. The world would look at that and say, how can you find a blessing in that? How can you find a blessing in that desert where it's cold at night and hot during the day, filled with scorpions and vipers? How can you find a blessing in being hungry for 40 days and 40 nights in a fasting? How is that anything good? Because I am in the hand of my God, and he loves me, and he does not let me go, and he is all that I need, and I will not understand that until I kneel at the cross and I come to the empty tomb and I see that I have a victory. That's the only way it works. And I will tell you right now, there will never be enough money to satisfy. There will never be enough of a relationship with another human being to truly satisfy. Those things will always leave you hungering for more. There will never be enough good food, enough vacation time. There will never be enough honor in this world. Praise because you're a football player. We think you are famous, great. You are a great guitar player. There will never be enough. Do you realize? Do you ever watch the people who you think have it all? And they still throw it all away on drugs because it makes them feel good. There is an emptiness in fame. There is an emptiness in money. There is an emptiness in earthly relationships if they are not founded first on Jesus Christ. Why do you seek the living among the dead? If you are looking this direction, you've lost the peace that passes understanding. You've lost the gift that God wants to give you. But when on Jesus Christ, there is a foundation. like Paul. Paul says, I have learned to be content in all circumstances. I know what it's like to have a lot, and I know what it's like to have nothing. But in all circumstances, I'm at peace. God said, I am. That's who I am. I need no other. And I have come into this world through Jesus Christ to give that gift to you. My question this morning is, why do you seek the living among the dead? He's knocking, my friends. He's knocking and knocking and whispering and whispering and rolling the stone away. This morning, if this kind of sounded a little strange to you and you're saying to yourself, wow, that sounds kind of good though. I like what that sounds like. Then I'm going to tell you right now, the Holy Spirit is stirring in your heart. And I'm going to ask that in your heart, you make a decision not to leave here today until you ask some questions. Because there is a gift that is waiting for you. It is the gift moment of an eternal relationship with God. Do not let this moment pass by. Do not let the power of the resurrection, because if Jesus did not rise from the dead, then nothing matters. But if Jesus did rise from the dead, nothing else matters. Let's pray. Father in heaven, you are a good, good Father. Jesus, you are God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one. Sermon for another day. You willingly took my place on the cross to be the Lamb of God. Help me more each day to seek you. Help each of us in this room each day to more seek after you and not chase the emptiness of this world. May the words of your word, the Holy Bible, may the words of your mouth, may the words of your messengers, the angels, shape us and change us. In Jesus' name, amen. My song of response.